Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Horse Trader's Diary. I am Tara Sanders, and of course, I have Chalele.
Chalaplet.
And
Ashpin.
Yes, so Saspin, our amazing intern, is headed back to the great state of Washington today, and we are in the great state of Texas, and I'm sure that there are people that live in Washington that
love
it there.
The only thing they have going there for them is the pot and
the pot. The pot.
What else is, drugs aren't criminal offenses anymore.
Is that an official thing?
Oh, that was a word. Yeah.
Is that an official thing?
Yes.
In Oregon, yeah. Hmm. Like,
who knew?
You can only get charged for, like, possession. Possession with intent to distribute.
Yes. Well, in Oregon, you can shoot up in front of a cop and you won't get arrested.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very bizarre twist of events. I don't know how I feel about any of that. I guess it makes it easier for people to get help. Is that what they're thinking? Is, like, people can be more honest about their problems?
I don't know.
I don't know. So there's always a plus to every negative. So I'm sure there's some pluses to that. It just sounds wild.
I mean, it saves on
locking up people for drug offenses.
Drugs, whenever it taxes.
This eventing facility on our left over here is always so cool.
Really nice. We have clinics and stuff too.
They do. Mm-hmm. We are on our way to Dallas to the airport, and there's a big eventing facility right off of the highway, and it's. It always has. Yeah, it's on I-20.
They always have a course set up. They had like 30.
And it changes a lot. Yeah, it changes a lot. Well, you guys, this week has been a really great week. The only thing that we have left as of today for sale, I believe. I know Henry is sale pending.
Yeah.
I know that a lady just messaged me to pay for Fred. So that just leaves the three thoroughbreds. And it's a shame to me. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it loud and clear. I think that what the thoroughbred industry has done to thoroughbreds is a little bit atrocious, because they have not a lot of monetary value, but they are the hardest horses to keep and keep weight on, and they should never be free. And I know that thoroughbred activists who want the horses to be retired mean well. I'm not judging them for wanting them to not go to slaughter. I'm not judging them for having the no slaughter policies. What I am going to tell you, though, is that I know for sure is that there are lots of kill buyers that you can take thoroughbreds directly to that will direct ship them, and they get more of them than we do, because they'll direct ship them, so there's no drama for the connections. So a lot of the larger barns have somebody that they trust to drive those thoroughbreds straight to Mexico. And it's a shame, but I know that it happens for sure. And it's what, you know, it's not that they don't get slaughtered. It's that it's just well hidden. So those of us who do advertise them get a lot of, like, criticism.
Backlash.
Yeah. Yes, a lot of backlash, because it's like they're thoroughbreds and they don't deserve this. And Louisiana is terrible. But you know what? Every thoroughbred that comes off the track in Louisiana goes to sell barns, and then they're on rehoming pages, and at least they get purchased. What sucks about Texas and Kentucky and New York and New Jersey and Florida, it's a straight shipment. I get calls. I have personally myself received at least a dozen phone calls in the last 5 years.
I was there for two of them.
Yep, Charlie was there when people called and said,
hey, I'm so and so. I've got like 15 thoroughbreds off the track. A couple of them have won. Most of them haven't. I want them to go straight to Mexico.
I need them to go straight to Mexico, and I can have them there tomorrow morning. But they wanted us to sign non-disclosure agreements and to sign that we would directly ship them to slaughter without rehoming them. That's what they wanted from me, was that there was absolutely no possible way that I would put them on the internet, and they wanted me to sign a contract that stated I wouldn't, and that if I did, that I was liable for any damages. And I told them, I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to take any horse on that needs to be rehomed to the public that I can't.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with.
Yep. Horses that have nothing wrong with them should not go to slaughter. There is a place for slaughter for crippled, old, problematic, hereditary disease. Yep. Dangerous horses. but horses that have nothing wrong with them that are just young, viable horses.
Just need their teeth done or their feet yep. done, you know, simple fixes.
Yep. Yep. There's no place at slaughter for those horses, which is why we have the rehoming effort. So I'm not upset, but I know that the thoroughbred industry absolutely cannot stand that I say that. They're like, it's a lie. It's not true. Our no slaughter policy works. Nope. Your no slaughter policy.
You're just getting sneakier about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't work. Your no slaughter policy drives more thoroughbreds through the slaughter pipeline than it saves, because now people just directly ship them to slaughter to where the public doesn't know about it. So you're actually doing the thoroughbreds a huge disservice, and all of the rescues who badger trainers to death to give the horses away for free instead of selling them for money are another issue, because it's worse than slaughter. Those thoroughbreds get given away for free to people who can't afford them, and then we see these atrocious neglect cases.
Like Priority
and Effie, yeah.
There was a huge deal up in Washington where
imagine that.
Yeah, it was a...
How bizarre.
Quotation, rescue took in a bunch of thoroughbreds, and they were all given to them, and they were all starved. I saw several drop dead every single day, and... Is that really a rescue where
right.
they're getting thoroughbreds in and they suffer and starve and die?
Yep. So, and that's not even HD.
Well, we can tell you right now that we have 3 thoroughbreds currently. High caliber. I'm not even going to get into that mess. But yeah. We have 3 thoroughbreds right now. And yeah, they eat more. They do. But they cost double to maintain than any other horse on the property. Yes. They eat twice as much grain. They go through twice as much hay. And you can still see their ribs. I mean, most of them came in race fit. So they were already like a little bit fit. Race fit. They were super lean. But I'm just telling you that we are feeding them, you know, 2 scoops in the morning and 3 scoops at night. 4-pound scoops. So 8 pounds of grain, and that's what they were getting on the track. So before you go, oh my God, that's so much feed.
Well, if you go by the dietary standards on any bag of feed, pretty much any horse is supposed to get 10 pounds minimum a day.
But we're feeding them what they were getting on the racetrack. So right now, what they're getting is what they were getting on the racetrack. Yeah, he almost bit Snot. Did you see the red truck? I don't know why he didn't see it. I guess
I didn't see it either.
Sorry.
I mean, it's daytime.
Yeah. There's a get over truck driving down the road flashing its light.
That's why they have those bumpers on them too.
Yes.
Yeah. You can tell he's probably been mucked out before.
Well, and then the red truck's getting over again, and there's another one up there. Like, there's a reason that truck's there, because there's more up here.
So back to our podcast.
Oh, sorry.
But the thoroughbreds are very expensive to feed. Like, so I'm just going to say, like, the average person who's looking for a horse in their pasture probably doesn't need a thoroughbred, not because they're not fantastic animals. They just have a really high metabolism and they go through a lot. I mean, we're giving, you know, they're going out every day, so they have all the grass that they can eat. But then in the mornings, we're giving 2 flakes of hay, big flakes, along with 2 scoops of grain. At night, they're getting, you know, alfalfa and hay and 3 scoops of grain. And it's a lot. It's a lot, you guys. It's a lot. And they are by no means obese. I do think that they all have maintained well.
Yeah.
And I think that the one looks a lot better.
Sparky.
Yeah. Sparky looks a lot better. The other two,
Goose
though.
Looks.
Yeah. I think Goose and
Robin.
Yeah, Robin both look good too, but they run a lot more. Like Sparky, he's so laid back. The other two run around their paddocks a lot more than he does, so they're burning a lot of the calories we give them.
Is auditioning for Hollywood to
yes.
be the wild horse in the pasture, just rear up.
Yeah, he likes to run out of his pasture and rear up. He's hilarious. But what I want for you guys to understand is thoroughbreds are an expense that you don't expect. They are more expensive to maintain, for sure, than your average horse. For sure. They put away... Like, the donkeys are practically free. We can like throw them scraps in a bag and they will and they free range and they stay so fat that you would never even know they were there. Like they're hog fat. And then so the donkeys are free. And then a lot of draft horses, you would think they eat a lot, but a lot of them don't have high metabolism, so they stay pretty healthy.
Yeah.
Ponies are easy. Quarter horses, most quarter horses that have been pasture raised are easy. Tennessee walkers, gated horses are all pretty easy. But thoroughbreds, saddlebreds, and Arabians are the hardest to keep that I've found stress-wise. Like they stress and...
If you have an Arabian that was in a show barn, usually they're pretty easy to keep after the fact.
They just stress out. Like I've noticed that Arabians are kind of a easily stressed animal.
Like a pasture raised Arabian, yeah, you can't keep weight on them. But a show barn raised Arabian,
I find it to be the opposite.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think that Arabians are super nice horses. I just find that they are a little bit ulcery and they're a little bit.
They actually have to be exercised on a really strict regime to maintain their muscle.
Yeah, that might be right, but I think that they just stress a little easier. Like, you know, like a Morgan or, you know, like Morgans are super laid back. Missouri Fox Trotters to me are some of the most, kind of when you get on them, like you think they're going to be a little bit hot, but they want to go. Like they just are a really solid, steady ride. But around the barn, they're the most unproblematic. Like I think if I was going to retire and just have riding horses, I probably would do Missouri Fox Trotters. They're just like so unproblematic. They really are. And I just love that about them. I feel the same way about a lot of really, really good Morgans are the same way. Like just the most unproblematic horse. What do you think, Aspen? What's your, like for you, what kind of breed of horses do you think is just like so unproblematic?
I'm just really partial to my quarter horses. I don't know. I just, everything. Yeah, I've had some that are a lot more high strung because they're performance horses, but I've also had a few that are just, like you said, super unproblematic, and I don't know. I think I would just
stick with quarters.
Yeah, I like my quarter horses.
Our warm bloods, like, I've noticed that with the varieties of warm bloods that we get, it seems like all the Tricaners we've ever had are super problematic. Like, we've never had a Tricaner that wasn't a little bit spicy.
That's how she got her name.
Like, the Tricaners. And then the Hanoverians are like run of the mill, like kind of average. They seem to be another thing that requires a lot of grain. Every Hanoverian we've had is like a big horse.
They're good on the ground, but on their back, they're like ready.
Yeah, that's it. They're super good on the ground. They're strong on their back. And then the Dutch warm bloods we've had have been the best all around. Like the most unproblematic warm bloods we've had are the Dutch. And we've had a lot of them.
That was like the big red branded one. He was
really good. And we've had some Zenger sheets. We've had like 4 Zenger sheets in the last 5 years. And they were all a little bit on the ground. They were a little watchy, but they were great once you got on them. So it's just funny how we've had a lot of different things. And there's such a variety that comes through. I don't think anybody in America could probably say that they ride and take care of on a regular basis the amount of horses and the mass variety of horses. So when Aspen comes back, we're going to find some catalog sales and we're going to help the girls, Charlie and Aspen, find 1 or 2 really nice ranch geldings to prep to take to catalog sales. So I think that'll be a really good, fun new adventure. But Charlie's on her own adventure. She's rodeoing, yeah. Pro rodeoing. How's that going?
So after we get Saspen dropped off for when we wrap up this podcast, I need to call ProCom and get Tara and I entered for Kissimmee. And then in another couple days, I will call and get us entered for Perry, which their slack is the same day, just one's after the performance and one is in the morning. And then another couple days, I have to call and enter us in Dade City, Florida. And my father actually lives in Florida and will come see us at Kissimmee.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah, you talked to him and he's, good for him.
So, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm like super excited. And then Plumber Daddy said he wanted to come watch one of the Florida rodeos, that he'd come down. And, yeah.
So we have a funny thing. So we have a guy that brings us hay, and we call him the hay daddy.
Yeah.
We have the electrician daddy, the plumber daddy, which Charlie is seeing.
Yeah.
Charlie is seeing the plumber daddy. And who else? What else do we have? We have plumber
daddy.
Caller daddy.
Caller daddy.
That's the guy from Arizona. He's so nice. My
God.
But I
call hay daddy Cheddarman.
Cheddarman, yeah.
And you were so mad that night whenever I stopped you and, like, made him talk to you.
Oh, I wasn't mad. I was just tired and ready to get home. And this Charlie...
And I knew where he was pulling out of was where we saw that big-ass Kubota.
Yeah.
And we were like, I wonder if we could get them to come do that for us. And I stopped him because he was blocking the damn road.
Yeah, and he's, like, the nicest guy.
Yeah, he really is.
Yeah. So... Well, you guys, I'm just excited. I'm excited about the new place. Obviously, it's something that we're just getting
used to. We're excited to have Aspen, so we don't have to carry all this on our backs. Just two people and a nugget.
And a nugget, yeah. I'm a lot more help when I don't have Tinley with me, but I have Tinley most of the time. She does go to my mom's, and she goes to Jacob's parents, but... Jacob is going to sales, and she can't go with him to the sale barns.
She just cannot handle it.
He's coming tomorrow, though, to do some business. And so while he's doing some business, he's going to pick her up, and she gets to spend half of tomorrow. And yep, she gets to spend half of tomorrow and all day Friday with me and Jacob together. And then Saturday, she's probably going to go to Kirbyville with Jacob, and Gary and Michelle are going to drive over and grab her, I think. We'll see how that goes. But they definitely are ready to see her. They haven't seen her in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yep. And they are used to seeing her like every single weekend. So, but it's going good. It's been a lot. Aspen, how do you like the place?
I absolutely love the place.
It is like paradise for the horses.
Yes. It's paradise for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of work. Don't get me wrong. But it's fun. It's
a good environment.
Yes. Some of this is new for me. And it's really good to learn. And
I'm going to say everything on the place is like living its best life. Especially Cisco and the donkeys.
Cisco and the donkeys are living their best life. They're like, you know what? I think we're just going to stay here. Cisco's like, I don't know about y'all, but I'm never going to let Charlie catch me again because I'm not leaving. And we're like...
I do catch him.
Cisco, he ran from Charlie for 5 or 6 minutes. And she was like, I don't know why I have this pony. And then when she finally got him caught, she was like, oh, he's so cute. Okay, I know why I have this pony.
That, and I told Buffy I'd never get rid of him.
Yeah.
Blue is slightly partial to him.
I mean, I think she's just worried that he's going to accidentally suicide himself.
She misses him. But when he's there, she's indifferent to him.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, ugh, I don't want bad for you, but I also don't want you. Well, you guys, we are going to tootle on into Dallas, and I hope that you guys have a great week. I'm sorry that there really wasn't a ton of information in this podcast.
Oh, wait, we need to plug Kristen and Josh and Adam.
Sure, go for it.
So, Sunday, I took my broodmare bunny to Adam. She is booked.
Adam Conrad,
yes. He owns Hooked on Run, Fletch That Cat, Jessen Cupid, and Trey Smoothie.
Mm-hmm.
And he is also standing Spymaster Fame.
Yes. Chisholm will stand there.
Yeah, Chisholm's going to stand there. And... Bunny is booked to Hooked on Run, so he just so happened to be going to Glenrose, and I needed to go there this weekend anyway. And I dropped off Bunny to him to go ahead and get a baby in her. I'm super excited for next year. It's going to be my first foal that I am the breeder on the papers. And
that's exciting.
While I was there, Delicious Horse Treats, which they sponsor us, they went ahead and let me get a big bucket of a fruit mix. Every time we sell a horse, we're going to start sending them with a little goodie bag of treats. So that way our customers like know, hey, these are the kind of treats that we feed the horse while they're in our possession. You can try them if you like them, if you love them. Kristen and Josh gave us a discount code. If you go online to Delicious Horse Treats TX for Texas.com and decide what you want, they have three different size buckets. They can do any variety of treats that you like to, that you'd like. They're all natural, holistic, non-GMO, and have human grade ingredients. So
if you have a horse with heaves or a horse that has breathing issues, they have eucalyptus treats that help with breathing issues.
And the eucalyptus also helps reduce inflammation. So they're kind of good for a bleeder in a way. I mean, but you don't feed treats enough to do a whole lot. But they are beneficial, and they also have grain-free options. These are also good for like show cows, show pigs, goats. Dogs,
well, they're human grade. So they're human grade ingredients. So if you wanted to eat your horse's cookies, you can.
Yeah.
So anything can eat them.
And our discount code for our customers at checkout is TLCO10. And so you'll get 10% off your order with that discount code. And it's super great. Kristen and Josh are like the greatest people ever. You know, they've been super willing in all of this ever since we've done it. And Blue is a super picky treat eater, and she will eat just about anything that they make.
Yeah, so they make great treats. So shout out to Adam, and shout out, definitely, we absolutely love the horse treats. So it's delicioushorsetreatstx.com. And the coupon code is
TLCO.
Yeah, TLC. For Thompson Livestock, and then CO, like the letter O, and then 10. So TLCO10.
That's been an issue. We didn't think
it has been an issue because people can't differentiate the difference between the O and the zero, and they either put two zeros or two O's, and it's TLCO, the letter O. And then 10, number 0. Yep, so it's like Thompson Livestock Company, 10% off. So you have a 10% off code. Use it. And the only other thing really is we really, really also appreciate PEMF Complete. If you haven't seen our videos lately, you should go watch them. We have a spark chamber machine coming during Brian. And we will have it there at the facility. If anybody is local to Troop, Texas, or within an hour or two drive, and you want to come over and get your horse worked on, just give us a call. We'll be more than happy to introduce you and your horses to PEMF, and just to kind of show you the machine. We also have a machine that we keep in the trailer, a digital machine that's really great to maintain everything, and it's going to be in the trailer at all the barrel races. So if you see us and you need something, just let us know, because we'd be more than happy to help you. So shout out to Mary at PEMF Complete. Her and Kathy are absolutely amazing. Kathy is the one that does the courses, and man, she's awesome. She's really awesome. So, all right, you guys. Oh, I know who didn't sell this week. Doc. Doc hasn't sold. So if anybody knows of a home for Doc, make sure you keep us in mind. I hear my Lysol.
Again?
Mm-hmm. You moved it to that side?
No.
I have a can of Lysol in here that I spray like buggies when I go to Walmart, or I spray Tinley's car seat out all the time when we go in places and come back out, and somehow it never fails. Like it gets underneath our feet, and we're spraying Lysol all over the car, and that's like such a smell.
Yeah.
Because it's just regular Lysol. Well, all right, you guys. So, Aspen, Saspen, as Tinley calls you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Peace out.
All right, you guys. Well, we will see you on live video sometime this week, and we hope that you guys have a really good Wednesday.
Week.
Yeah. Yeah, have a good Wednesday. See you this week. Bye.